Well, as you take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 15 through 21, I want to ask you a question. In your mind, what has been your greatest Christmas gift? Now, chances are for so many of us that would be pretty hard to answer because we've lived so many Christmases and we've enjoyed so many Christmases, and maybe some of those way back there when you was just a kid are some of the most memorable to you, because maybe you didn't have a great deal and any little thing meant a whole lot. I can remember some things when I was just a kid that I got, and I was excited about them, but come to find out they would only last for about 2 or 3 weeks. Not because they wouldn't have lasted, but maybe because there was an operator that made it hard on them. I can remember one time getting a set of walkie-talkies, and my sister and I, we had a wonderful time with those. Some of you can remember that. And I can remember getting other things, and I remember one time getting a bicycle and just different things you probably can remember. Maybe to some of you, it's a diamond ring, sort of anticipation of engagement or marriage. Maybe somebody else, it was, maybe you even got a vehicle for Christmas. Maybe someone else got some sum of money. Maybe it was a brand new sofa. I never will forget one Christmas. I believe it was Christmas. Now some of you ladies are going to hope don't take offense at this, but I never will forget back in the days when I was just a kid, my mother had the wringer washer. You know what I'm talking about, the old wringer washer. You had to wring your clothes out. And one afternoon, one evening close to Christmas, Dad took my mother downstairs. She had no idea what she's getting ready to see, and she had a brand new washer and dryer down there. Now you say, well, that's not very exciting. Well, I guess if you had been my mother and had 5 kids, that was awfully exciting because it meant you didn't have to spend as much time downstairs in the basement. You got to come back up for a little reprieve and a little relief. Well, so many things mean so much to each one of us when it comes to Christmas time, but there is the greatest Christmas gift that ever was given. And you know what I'm talking about, and it came through the person of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, open it with me to John chapter 3, verses 15 through 21. This is John's account of God giving his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh into the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Whenever you read John's account of the gospel, he makes it abundantly clear that in spite of all the gifts you get in Christmas time, or whenever you get a gift, there is none that is paramount to the gift of God through Jesus Christ and salvation. But here's something every one of us know, that whenever you get a gift, at least for the most part, it has to be open to be enjoyed. Now, if I had a gift in my hand, and I said, you know, this is a gift I got back when I was 16, I just cherished this gift so much, and I loved the paper so much and the ribbon so much that I decided not to open it, you would look at me and you'd say, well, that is absolutely, utterly foolish. And you would be absolutely right, because the thing about it is, no gift can be enjoyed unless it's opened. And the thing about it is, there's so many individuals who have been saved by the grace of God, who have the greatest gift of God living on the inside of them, but they've never really unwrapped the gift that God has given to them in Jesus Christ. You know, whenever you look at verse 16, and I don't have to go back and reread it, you know it by heart, but here's the picture of Scripture. God is saying to all the world, I want you to know how much I am in love with you. I want you to know that I will not withhold my very best, and I will release my one and only Son to come into the world so that you can have the potential reality of having everlasting life. Now think about it for a moment. There's nothing in Scripture that made God do that. The outflow was that God in his infinite love chose to give his only begotten son. And when you think about the greatest gift of all time, there is none that can compare to the person of Jesus Christ. You know, we think about this time of Christmas and we get excited and we have festivities and we have all sorts of wonderful things in the world. But if you stop and think about it, the very first Christmas was going to mean the execution of the Son of God. The very first Christmas was going to involve death. Why? Because the Bible says that every one of us have been conceived in sin. Here is a reality about your simple life and my simple life. Every one of us have been conceived. That is, we were brought into this world and we are sinners. You know, we've sinned and we've lived as we desired. But here's what God said. I want you to know that I don't want you to miss the best. I want you to know and to understand that I don't want you to miss the best. And I'm going to take the initiative from heaven. And I'm going to release my one and only son to come to earth. Now, I want you to listen and I want you to hold on very carefully. Jesus Christ had never been in a humanly body form for all of eternity. As a matter of fact, Jesus never had the name Jesus until he came to earth. And the Bible says that he took off all of his splendor, all of his royalty, where he knew no time and space. In other words, he's infinite, eternal God. And the Bible says he put on a human body. Now get this, I want you to listen very carefully. And the reality is Jesus is going to be in human flesh for all of eternity. The Bible says he became flesh. You remember the passage of scripture that the Bible says that this same Jesus who's gone up into heaven, what type of Jesus went into heaven? One in a bodily form. And the Bible says that same Jesus who went up is coming down. So in a very real sense, for the next few moments, I want us to, in a sense, unwrap the gift that God has given to us through salvation. And the thing about it is, if you don't unwrap it, you can't enjoy it. Now you can be saved. And you can say, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to hell, and that's enough. No, it's not. Because you're going to miss out on enjoying just the splendor and the good things that God has in store for you. So what does the ultimate gift, salvation, include? Well, you remember I said if you don't unwrap a present, it's not good. As a matter of fact, my mother could have had that gift of a washer and dryer sitting downstairs and gone downstairs and said, you know, I just so appreciate, but if she doesn't use it, it doesn't do any good. Now listen carefully. If you don't understand what is involved in the gift of God, you can never enjoy it. And let me say this, the gift of God is available to absolutely every person. It does not matter what you have done, where you have been, or where you are in your life right now. Amen? The Bible says it's a gift, and a gift is available. Well, what does it mean? Follow along in your outline. First, the Bible says it involves God himself. Now think about this for just a moment. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, you may not have your Bible there, but you know what the next three words. Emmanuel means what? God with us. Now the very story of Jesus is simply this. Jesus born in a manger. But Jesus does not become God. Listen, he is God as a baby. He has always been God, will always be God. And here you have a baby coming in human form, God coming in human form as a baby. And the Bible says that he laid off royalty, he laid off his position, he laid off his rank so he could come down from heaven. So he could come to you and me as man, and the Bible says he could tabernacle with us. Now here's the reality of what God done. Mike, I see your perspective right here, dear brother. The Bible says that he tabernacled with us. What does it mean? He became flesh. Sometimes you and I say something like this. Does anybody ever understand me? I wish somebody could just get into my skin for just a minute and understand my life and know what I'm going through and know what I'm experiencing. There is someone who got in your skin, and that person is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he knows everything you've gone through. He knows every temptation. He knows every dart. He knows every situation. And think about it for a moment. He didn't do it by accident. Jesus Christ, now get this, here's God the Son, left heaven and put on the form of human flesh. Now here's what we never often hear or never often hear said. Jesus is going to be in the form of human flesh for all of eternity. That's what the story of Christmas is. He didn't go back to heaven and throw away his humanity and now he's up there and no, the Bible says he became. Literally means he knows what it is to be a human being. And that's exactly what the story of the ultimate gift involves. And you see, the thing about it is, when you pray to the Lord Jesus, you know he understands because the Bible says that he knows everything that we go through. And second of all, it involves a Savior. Now think about this for just a moment. The Bible says in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their what? Sins. Listen, you need rescued. You may not realize it, but you can't see your life right. Because the reality is we're distorted. You can't see your life because we live in a world of sin. We live in a world of all sorts of wicked things going on. But the Bible says that you and I need rescued. And the rescue is from a life of sin. Now you may say, well, I'm not that bad. I don't do that many things. But the Bible says, God says you're a sinner. And God says in his word that the soul that sins will die. If you leave this world without Jesus Christ, you have no hope. And that's exactly what God did in Jesus Christ. Now sometimes we think, well, how in the world could Jesus Christ take my sins upon himself and die for my sins? I want you to listen. Jesus Christ was not just a man, he was God-man. He is eternal. And God could place an infinite and eternal amount of sins on the person of Jesus Christ so that you would not have to die. That's exactly what the gift of life is all about. And you see, the thing about it is, God put on Jesus Christ that infinite number of sins. And let's just put it this way. Jesus took everything you have ever done, are doing, or will ever do, and here's what God did. He transferred it out of you onto Jesus Christ, and God dealt with Jesus Christ so he wouldn't have to deal with you. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? And think about this. You don't have to die if you're a child of God. You're not going to die and go to hell. You can't go to hell. You know, some people use that derogatory phrase. Well, why don't you just go to... Sometimes we as Christians need to just raise up and say, I'm sorry, I can't. That's exactly the truth because you have the life of Christ living on the inside of you. You have the person of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Scripture says. Now, you need a Savior because we all need to be rescued. You look at your life. We don't want to think we're that bad. Ours is just sort of a modified rebellion. We may not be as rebellious as somebody else, but we're still rebellious. You want that good parking space too, don't you? You want to go through that checkout counter first. You want to be first in line. And, you know, if somebody gets in front of you and gets that special prize or gets that special gift, and there's only four of them left at Walmart, and they're on sale 99% off, and someone gets right in front of you, and you don't easily say, you go right ahead and get that. Why? Because we are sinful by nature. And you and I need to understand we need rescued. If you miss this life without getting rescued, you have no hope. And that's what God the Father knows. And that's why God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It was all a part of God's plan. God didn't force his Son to do it. Can you imagine? If my daughter willingly died for somebody, what it would do to my heart? If she came in my house and said, Dad, I've got to go. Where are you going, honey? Somebody's going to be executed, so I'm going to be executed in their place. What do you think I'd say? I'm flesh just like your flesh. But here's exactly what the Father was willing. Son, I'll let you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God so loved you. And that's the reality of the gospel. God doesn't dislike you. Listen, we live in a world where so many people have this idea, well, God's up in heaven. He's always right ready to jump on me. You have to understand he's a holy God. He's never known sin. He can't sin. It violates his nature to sin. But here's what he said. I'm going to provide a way for you to come to me. And that way is going to be through Jesus Christ. And here's what I'm going to do. Not only am I going to provide you a Savior, but here's what's going to happen. Look thirdly in your outline. I'm going to provide you a complete pardon of all your sins. Now, I don't know if you understand it, but here's what the gift of salvation involves. If you don't know this, you're going to miss a great deal of calmness, joy, and serenity in your soul. I have been legally pardoned because holy God initiated the pardon, and I cannot pay for my sin. I love the idea of enjoying freedom. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 in the NIV, it's for freedom's sake that God sets you free. God don't want you walking around living in guilt and living half guilty, and that's the way a lot of Christians are. But here's what he makes it clear. You see, in the Old Testament, you and I don't understand because we live in our day and time, but when a criminal was pardoned, there was no way he could ever be held accountable for that offense again. Now think about it for a moment. How many of you have sinned after you got saved? Don't you raise your hand. Because if you don't raise your hand, then that means you're fibbing, as my mom used to say. We all have. Now, there may be degrees, but here's the reality. When you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, God, listen to the words that I'm going to use, legally, divinely pardoned you. You cannot be held accountable for your sins as far as death is concerned. You say, well, what if you die and you're a saved person, but you commit a sin? You're not going to go to hell. Why? Because you have been divinely, legally pardoned. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. I know ain't isn't a good word, but I like to use that word because that's exactly how you feel. Man, it's just so wonderful to know, God, you're not going to hold anything against me. You pardon me. You release me. I don't have to go into the jail cells and pay for my crime because Jesus has paid for my sin debt. And you see, the reality of it is, Jesus' death paid for your sin and my sin permanently. And that's exactly what happened. The Bible says God placed on Jesus the totality of sins. That's why he can pardon you. Now, listen to me very carefully. Somebody had to die for you to get pardoned. There's no way in heaven God could look down on you and say, you're pardoned, you're pardoned, you're pardoned, you're pardoned. Somebody had to pay the price. Somebody had to legally, divinely, holy pay the price so you could be forgiven. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. And you see, the wonderful gift of salvation means this. You don't have to go into the presence of God and beg and plead and, oh, God, please forgive me my sin. Please forgive me. I heard somebody say just the other day, said, you know what? You'll go to hell for lying. And I know what they meant. It's not good to lie and you shouldn't lie and that's a bad thing to do. But I want you to listen to me very carefully. When you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, and if you're here and you're lost and you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, here's what God will do. He divinely, legally pardons you, and that pardon is for all of eternity. Never to hold it against you. Not only does he pardon us and release us, but he provides forgiveness of sin. Don't you botch it. Husbands, do you botch it toward your wives and your family and your children? Wives, sometimes the same thing holds true for you. I mean, we all live in this human body. We're going to live in this human body, but here's the reality. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Now, you say, now wait just a minute. If he's already forgiven us, why do we need to confess our sins? That is owning up to our part of it. For example, if I hurt my wife's feelings and I did something deliberately, she could forgive me, but I'm not going to have peace in my soul until I go to her and I say, you know, honey, I shouldn't have done that thing that I did or said that thing that I did. And that's exactly what it is. You know, confession renews us. Lord, I shouldn't have thought that wicked thought. Cleanse my mind. There's not a God up in heaven. Watch this. There's not a God in heaven going to go bang, 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 bang. That's not God. God is not out to get you. Why would God say he so loved the world? Listen, they were doing abominable things. They were living in wickedness, adultery, fornication, all the things. And in the days of Noah, they were murdering, committing murder, all sorts of. And finally, God had to wipe them off the face of the earth because of their wickedness. But here's what God says. I want you to know that I love you. I'm not out to get you. I'm out to forgive you. You see, the issue is, will I accept what he wants to give me? Will I genuinely, authentically accept? But you see, a lot of times is this. The only image we've got of God is like a big earthly parent. And our earthly parent, all they could do is belittle us and degrade us and demean us and put us down and talk bad about us. And so that's all we think God is. He's just some big earthly parent up there, and it's just a little different scenario. No, I want you to listen to something. I want you to get in your heart. God cannot belittle you. I'm not saying he will not. He cannot. It violates his holy nature. And that's what Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is all about. It's a provision because, listen, what did Jesus do? Nothing. What did God the Father do? Nothing. What did God the Holy Spirit do? Nothing. Have you ever stopped to think the whole Christmas story is about pain, suffering, death, becoming? Well, imagine this. If I said, let's everybody sell everything we've got, give it away, and let's go live in the streets. You say, Pastor, you're nuts. That's not even close to what Jesus did so he could have a relationship with you and me. And he did it for all of eternity so you can know what it is to be forgiven. So it provides forgiveness. Listen, you're not beyond forgiveness. I hear some people saying that, and it's sort of their own personal theology. Well, you know what? I've done this and I've done this and I've had sex and I've done this thing over here and, you know, I know God won't forgive me. It's sort of like a personal theology they've developed. Where is that in the Bible? Show me that in the Bible. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful. Meaning that every time, he will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us, get the junk out of our heart. Why? Because he knows that we live in a world that throws junk at us and we get all sorts of junk inside of us. We allow ourselves to get junk. But he says, you know what? I'll give you the gift of forgiveness. I'll forgive you. I'll show you how to forgive yourself. And you can have the most amazing life. That's part of the gift of salvation. And then there's access to the Father. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:18, for through him we have by one Spirit, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, I want you to think about this. Watch this. For the lost person out there in the world, they talk about God. They talk about God this and God that. But here's the thing. Now, I want you to listen. He is not just our God. He is our Father. You have to understand the term used. In the Greek and in the Hebrew thought, there was such a connection of fatherhood to the child. There is no way that God is going to ever leave us as a father. Think about this. Our dad runs the world. Our father runs the universe. You say, well, you know, that'd be nice to think that. That's the facts. Listen, do you know that ruling the world's the family business? Do you know that you're going to judge angels someday? You say, well, I don't want any leadership. I'm sorry, that's the family business. You say, now that's just spiritualistic thinking. No, it's not. It is the Word of God. You're going to judge angels someday. That's why he says you and I need to learn how to handle our disputes because he's going to give us a sphere of leadership and rulership. Now think about this a minute. You have available interest. Now, if I said to some of us, I said, you know, next week we're going to get a plane, we're going to fly to London, and we're going to go see the Queen. That wouldn't happen. Because you don't have available access to the Queen of England. Now, Prince Charles can go in and out and see the Queen. William, Harry can go in and out and see the Queen. And, you know, Princess Catherine can go in and out and see the Queen. Why? Because they have a relationship and a legal relationship. Watch this. Before William married, she didn't have a legal access to the Queen, but she does now. Through salvation, watch this. You have a divinely legal access to approach your Father. You don't have to go through some priest. Listen, you don't have to go call the preacher to, talk to the Father like some believe. You can talk to God on your own, by yourself, on your knees, driving a car, or just walking around your house. You have been given available access. That's why the world don't understand you and me, because they don't have available access. They are out when it comes to talking to the Father. Listen, I have available access, not because I'm a preacher. There are some preachers who don't have available access because they've not been saved, and I can't understand all that, but that's the facts. But here's the facts. Because of the gift of salvation, I have available access to my Father in heaven. Now, access means, it doesn't mean just barging in, but it means that he readily is going to hear me. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Now, I want you to listen carefully. Does God ever not keep his word? No. And it means that if I have access, he tells me to come boldly. What it means is come boldly and tell him what's on my heart, tell him what's on my spirit, so that he can come to my rescue. So bold and so accessible is he to us, and some of our ladies in church have tried it. In counseling some couples, they're getting ready to date, and some young ladies, I said, now you make a list out. What do you want the Father to provide for you? You say, now wait just a minute, that's carrying a little bit too far. Let me ask you a question. Am I, as a daddy, concerned about who my daughter marries? You better believe it. Am I going to be very conscious about who she marries? You better believe I am. Listen, your Father in heaven wants to provide for you, and he does. But here's the reality. He says, come boldly. I can't make my daughter come to me, but I love it when she does. God won't make you come to him. We have available access. That's what the gift, the ultimate Christmas gift of salvation, is all about. You have forgiveness of sin. Your sins have been pardoned if you're a child of God. You have access to the Father. And you see, not only that, but we have a relationship. Listen, God isn't just our creator. Now, when this becomes real to your life, I want you to listen to me real carefully. You will be absolutely ecstatic. I was talking to a doctor the other day, and as I was talking to him, I talked about our Father running the world because he's a Christian. And he just looked at me and he said, I never thought of that. And he said, Pastor, that's a good thought. Now, listen carefully. This gift is not just about not going to hell. Think about a minute. Aren't you in need times? Don't you need provision times? Don't you need guidance? Don't you need direction? That's what the gift of salvation. We have a Father in heaven. We have access to the creator of the universe, which means relationship, friendship, protection. Let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, it came a bad snow, and I was traveling down 25. And as I was traveling down 25, it came a snow fast. And I thought, I wish I wasn't here. I'd rather been any place where I was, but I couldn't back up. I couldn't turn around. And it kept getting worse. And I just prayed this simple prayer. Now, Father, this car is little. It wasn't a big car. It's got front-wheel drive, but listen, you know what that does sometimes. I said, so, Father, I just ask you, as simple as I know how, would you put your finger on this car so that it wouldn't lose traction on the road, so I could get home safe and sound, and to my wife, and, just not get hurt. Was that concern to me? Yes. Was that concern to my Father? Yes. Well, I trudged along, and I saw two or three cars out of the road, and I watched to see the answer. And as I trudged on down the road, now, keep in mind, I didn't do 55. I did what I should have done, and I just trudged right on. Four-wheel drive was in the road or out of the road, and I think I saw another car out of the road, and I just watched. And here went my little car right to the house. Now, listen to me very carefully. There's 1,000 things that happen in our life. We have a Father that's out to protect us. You're not by yourself going through this world. We act like we don't have a God in heaven sometimes. We act like we don't have a God who loves us. We act like we're aliens in this world, and we just got God on Sunday morning, you know, during morning worship, and maybe we've got him on Sunday night. Maybe. Listen, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You cannot be abandoned by God. That's why, listen, if there's anybody that should have an exciting life, it's a Christian. Why? Because you know who you got to talk to, the problems, the difficulties, and who'll help you in all your difficult situations. Sometimes they're financial, sometimes they're otherwise. But we have someone who have a relationship. Not only that, but the Bible makes it very clear that we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Now, it's very hard to explain the Holy Spirit in about 2 minutes. But here's the reality. The Bible says the Holy Spirit lives in us, guaranteeing us that we know we're going to heaven when we die. Amen? How many of you have done bad things, but you can still say, you know what? I know. I thank God I'm going to heaven. Amen? It's not because you've not been perfect. But the Bible says that there's the guarantee of God's Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. I dreamed the other night that Jesus came. I really did. I told Charlotte, I said, I dreamed last night that Jesus came, and I was so excited and so ecstatic. In my dream, there's Jesus. Here's Jesus. And then I woke up and it was morning. Can you imagine how sort of downturned that was? But here's the reality. We have access. And the Bible says that, you know, because we have Jesus, he's a shepherd. Now think about this a minute. If you was a farmer back in the days of Jesus, you'd understand what a shepherd was. A shepherd's responsibility was to protect from all evil. You see, sheep don't have any defense. Now I want to say this kindly, but this is just sheep are dumb. I mean, they are the dumbest animal in probably the animal kingdom. Now you may think, no, I've got one and it's dumb. No, they're probably the least. They don't have any defenses, but listen. You know what God does because he loves you? He gives you that spirit of restlessness in your heart to protect you because you're going a direction that you shouldn't go. You're going down this path and you shouldn't have gone down that path. And you have this horrible sense of restlessness. And you think, I've got acid indigestion. No, that's not acid indigestion. That's the Holy Spirit of God protecting you from destroying your life. Now, let me ask you a question. How many want your lives to be destroyed? None of us. But you know what we do? We'll go this way and this voice will speak to us and we won't stop. But we'll just keep plundering on through and we'll mess our lives up. And I guarantee you, most of the time we can go back and say, you know what, if I'd listened to that voice. I was reading the marriage vows of a couple some years ago. And the young man, as he stood down there, he told me just shortly after he got married, well, marriage ended up in divorce. And he said, if I'd done what I should have done, I would have left. He said, I shouldn't have married that woman. Now listen very carefully. The greatest gift in all the world is not a thing. It's a person. It's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now listen, it takes two people to have a relationship. And we want God to do all the giving. Lord, you just give to me, bless me, pour it on, pour it on, pour it on. What do you do in the relationship? Do you do sometimes like I do my wife? Sometimes, and I'll get a phone call and she'll say, who was that? And I'll just barely say the name or something like that. It's nothing that's not confidential. Maybe some of my family. Well, what do they want? And she said, have you ever noticed that I have to pull it out of you? Now, I want you to listen real, real carefully. How can there be a relationship when God has to, in other words, try to pull it out of you? He can't jump onto you. He can't belittle you. Now, you say, well, that's your philosophy. That's your thinking. No. That is the way God is. That's his nature, friend. Now, let me tell you this. I thought he could jump on me because a lot of times, you know, I'd hear him through sifted voices. But the reality is he can't. And the Bible says not only that, but he is our intercessor. Now, that literally means a go-between. The Bible says, you know, he's our intercessor. ever interceding for us. Think about this for a moment. There's a lot of crisis in life you don't know what to pray. A lot of situations in life you don't understand. Sometimes you have family members, you don't know how to pray for them. Sometimes you don't even know how to pray for yourself. And when that time comes, you can just say, Lord, I don't know what to say. There was a time in my life when I was sick that I could just say, Lord, help me. And that's the only thing I knew how to pray. Listen, he's not going to leave you comfortless. He is a father. Jesus is our elder brother. And Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And not only that, but the Bible says he's a friend. Now, here's what the sad part about it, and, you know, it takes two to have a friendship. I have a dear friend that we've been friends for better than 30-some years. We walk together. We share our heart. He shares his heart. I share my heart. But if I just shut up one day and stop sharing anymore, probably he would not be able to share either. See, here's the thing about it. Some of you are scared to death God's going to jump on you if you confess a sin. Some of you say, God, I'm mad at you. I've even counseled some people. I said, when was the last time you said, God, I hate you? Pastor, let me ask you a question. Has something happened in your life that there's, listen, God is the sovereign. He can shoulder it. You're not ever going to shock God. You're not ever going to put God in a situation. That's just not going to happen. He knows what's going on in your heart and your life. And you say, I've had so many Christians that's turned me off to Christianity. He understands that. You, probably others in this same sanctuary said, you know what? I've had people that have turned me off too. When I was a boy, there was only about three or four preachers that I respected because others just sort of, you know, well, he's just a kid, you know. But you know what? God will bring those people by your life that really love him and you'll listen to. And you see, the thing about it is, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but see, in reality, there's a lot of fakes, even that go to church, that have never been saved. There's a lot of people that are in churches this morning all over the world that have never had a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Just coming, sitting in the pew and starting to learn to sing the songs and learn some of the order of service doesn't make a person a Christian. If you've not been forgiven of your sins, have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. But the most wonderful thing in conclusion is this. A resurrected body and an eternal home. As I get a little bit older, I think about a resurrected body. Because this body is going to wear out. Now, I'm never going to die. Neither are you. You say, well, yes, I am. No, you're not. You are not going to die. Because you cannot. You are an eternal being. That is, you're going to live for all of eternity from the time you was conceived. You cannot not live. The only issue is, where will you live? You see, there's a lot of people who believe, well, you know, I came from nothing and I'm going to go to nothing. I'm sorry, that's just not the accurate truth of Scripture. And that's not the truth of Holy God who owns and runs his world. The thing about it is this. Every one of us that are Christians, here's what you know. I may be getting older, but it's really okay because I just get to transfer my home. Now, this body is going to cease to function for a season of time, and then God's going to raise this body back up. I'm going to be Benny Bush in the resurrected body. Why am I going to be Benny Bush? Because God says so. If I was going to be something else, I'd be reincarnated. I'm not going to be reincarnated. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to be Benny Bush for all of eternity. Don Elmore is going to be Don Elmore for all of eternity. Charlotte Bush is going to be Charlotte Bush for all of eternity. And you are too. The thing about it is, where's your home going to be? In the loving, gracious kindness of a holy God, here's what he has given to everyone. Now think about this. God could have created the world millions of ways. He's God. Couldn't he have created the world any way he wanted to? Sure he could. He could have created this world millions of ways. And here's what he decided best. The crowning creation of his, he gives to them a free choice system, a free will. You say, well, you know, I don't want to go to hell, but I don't want to be saved now. The reality of it is, when you turn away from God, you're rebelling from your Creator. Jesus said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, whoever believes is saved, but whoever who does not, they're going to be doomed. And you see, friend, just like a gift, it's not enjoyed unless received. You can't enjoy the gift of eternal life unless you receive it. Many of us receive the gift of eternal life. But the truth about it is, some of you are saved and you've never opened it. You've never got on your knees before God and confessed your sin. That's why your life is a mess. Can I tell you this? And you say, now, that's too simplistic. Try it and then tell me I'm wrong. If your life is an absolute horrible mess, get on your knees if you're saved and say, Lord God, I'm owning up to what I've done in my life. Would you cleanse me and forgive me and wash me clean? How do I know that will work? I've done it many times myself, and I shared it with someone just this past week, and they didn't think it would work. And it's just like they looked at me like, and I said, what's going on in your heart? They said, I'm free. That's exactly what Jesus came to give you. Freedom. He did everything from coming, taking your sins, dying on the cross, being nailed in the most humiliating way in the world, being put in a borrowed tomb, rising 3 days later. Now let me ask you a question. What else can he do? If you don't accept the gift of eternal life, there's nothing else he can do. It's your choice. Father, thank you so much for giving your son Jesus. For giving your son Jesus out of your love and overflowing love. You didn't have to, but you wanted to. You knew he was going to be executed. You knew that to provide a holy sacrifice meant death, meant a bloody death. But for all of us that are saved, we may get 1,000 things at Christmas time, but none will compare to the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because it is a gift, it is eternal. Never, never, never to be lost, taken away. That just can't happen. And thank you, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen.